Welcome to Patient Advocacy Voices. I'm your host, Eric Racine, U.S. Head of Public Affairs and Patient Advocacy at Sanofi. The purpose of this podcast is to get to know the unsung heroes from patient advocacy groups. These are people who work tirelessly for the well-being of patients and their families. Together, we will uncover powerful stories from advocacy thought leaders and learn how they help patients overcome barriers to access and care. No one ever wants to hear those words, "You have cancer." These words have shaped the life of our guest, Meredith Cauldon. Meredith is a cancer survivor, also living with a condition called chronic graft versus host disease, GVHD, CGVHD. Meredith is also a therapist helping other patients, and on her spare time, she's also an advocacy leader, the Meredith Cauldon Foundation, what we'll be discussing about today. She's also a founding member of an important alliance of advocacy group called the GVHD Alliance. The GVHD Alliance has created kind of a central resource of many useful information and tools for patients and providers. My co-host for this episode is Angie Brico. Angie is Sanofi Head of U.S. Public Affairs and Patient Advocacy, General Madison. So hello, Angie, and welcome Meredith to Patient Advocacy Voices.
Hi, Eric. Hi, Meredith.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
We are so happy to have you as a guest today, Meredith, to share your story about creating a GVHD Alliance for patients and really to tell us about how much you've learned along the way. Can you just remind for our listeners, what is chronic graft versus host disease? And, you know, how did you get this from your journey with cancer?
Yeah, graft versus host disease is a disease that is subsequent to a bone marrow or stem cell transplant in which someone's immune system is transplanted. And so then the new immune system identifies the host, the patient's body, as foreign. And so then it attacks various different organs and takes on a variety of different manifestations. And it can be, it can start out as acute and then turn into chronic, or it can just start as acute, stay that way, or just be chronic.
Is it the reason why these patients may or may not know they have GVHD?
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, there are a few things that go on with that. And so patients don't necessarily have the information or receive the information that they need in order to look at themselves or think about the symptoms that they have and think, oh, okay, this might be GVHD. And the other side of it is that depending on where they're receiving their care, their healthcare provider, if it's a primary care physician in the community, that person doesn't have the same kind of knowledge about GVHD as a GVHD expert or somebody who works in the bone marrow transplant community. And so then a primary care physician could also look at, say, a skin manifestation, which is a relatively common manifestation of GVHD, and say, oh, I think that you have a sun rash. So we'll just put, you know, this on there, and not realizing that it's actually a manifestation of chronic graft versus host disease. And so there are a lot of misdiagnoses. There are a lot of things that are diagnosed much later than would be beneficial or frankly would be necessary for people.
So Meredith, you are also an advocacy leader at the Meredith A. Cauldon Foundation. Tell us a little bit about your journey from a patient, from a therapist, to an advocacy leader.
So my transplant happened September of 2001. In April of 2002, that's when I was diagnosed with chronic graft versus host disease. So I've had it for 22 years. In 2005, 2006, I had a particularly challenging manifestation that my doctors weren't as familiar with because it was more rare, wasn't known quite as much as it is now at that time. And so my family and I, my parents and I, spent a lot of time trying to find information and trying to understand what was happening and what we could do at home, because it's, you know, it's quite a helpless, kind of hopeless feeling when, you know, the doctors are trying to figure out what's going on with you and you're also trying to navigate just how to go about life. It was a huge struggle. And so once things kind of settled down, once the doctors figured it out, they gave me the proper medication and it was managed, then, you know, my dad was having a conversation with a gentleman, and he, you know, said a few things. He said it was just so difficult and so frustrating, and, you know, we didn't know what to do about it. And also he said, I don't want anyone else to have to go through that. And so this gentleman that he was talking to said, well, why don't you, you know, think about maybe starting a foundation or an organization and, you know, see what you can do. And I'll be completely honest, at that point in time, 2007, I was not as invested in the foundation nor the role of advocate as I am today. And it took me a while to get to a place where I felt like mentally and emotionally healed, if that makes sense, enough to get into a place where I could put myself forward to help and support other people. I started to get into that place around 2014, 2015. And prior to that, I had been engaged in some, you know, like volunteer stuff. I was a peer support person for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. I volunteered at a local cancer support center. I did that kind of stuff. But then I got involved with the National Institute of Health as part of their Chronic GVHD Consensus Consortium. And so that's really where I started to become more active and get more involved in becoming an advocate.
I would like to discuss a little bit about the realization that as one advocacy group, you have certain reach and impact in helping patients, but you also recognize very few years ago that combining and working with others could amplify the impact. Often we see advocacy group across different therapeutic area, serving different groups here in the US, working as alliance, because they know that if they create an alliance, they will have strengths in numbers. So that could be amplifying their voice. It could be push for changes, policy changes, for example, working better together, sharing resources and so on. In GVHD, there was no alliance, am I right? And you are one of the founder of the GVHD Alliance, who has some great resource and great success. So tell us a little bit about how did you recognize that? How did it go about getting it started, and share it a little bit with us?
Absolutely. We, you know, discussed the idea of having like a center of excellence, quote unquote, right? And so one singular place where everybody can go to get the information that they need, to get the support that they need, to everything, all of it, for from healthcare professionals to patients, to caregivers, to friends, to family. We tried to get it going, and it was challenging because we were always lacking one particular key component. One of the things that was wonderful about the NIH Patient Advocacy Summit, we got all of the right people together around the table. It helped to know who the right people were, who the right organizations were to bring together, because they were the ones that had the resources, that had the information, that had the research. An important aspect is just recognizing, okay, these are the ones who are going to really help with this and get things moving. And then a part of that process is learning how to collaborate and not compete. Identifying within each organization, within each group, okay, what is it that they bring to the table, and where do they shine, and how do we elevate what they're excellent at? And then together, combined, that's so much more powerful than each one individually. And so, you know, this group of organizations can reach more people and do more beneficial work than just the Meredith Cowden Foundation. The role that Sanofi plays in this is that of like that navigator compass holder, because, you know, when you have a group of organizations who are all like working toward this same goal, you know, we can all tend to go in different directions. And, you know, sometimes we all just need somebody to say, oh, hey, we got a little off course. Remember, this is where we're headed. What I consider, you know, to be the role that Sanofi has taken is that really like the one who says, whatever it is that needs to happen with this, I will support you and I will back you up and we will make this happen. And so kind of bring everybody back and help navigate and guide toward the North Star, right? The goal, the mission.
Absolutely. And Meredith, you had said, you know, focusing on a problem that's too big for just the Cowden Foundation to solve, or any advocacy group, frankly, to solve, is one way to really get an alliance going. How did you work together to find that right problem? And what were some of those ways that you really uncovered those unmet needs and aligned on the problem to solve?
Well, there are these barriers that patients face. And how do we overcome those barriers? What are the patient's needs? Are there gaps where those needs are not being met? And so really just kind of breaking everything down and coming together as a group and brainstorming about, okay, these are the things that we have identified. These are the things that these people have identified. And so let's use this and see what we can do from there.
Love it. I love it. So it's really making sure that people put the patient gaps first, and then how can we address those gaps? But, you know, when you have a lot of groups working on a project, it can cause challenges. How did you learn to work together as an alliance? What advice would you give?
Yeah, I think that one of the key ways to do that is really aligning on the goal, right? And so once everybody who's at the table, like, they're already invested in the general goal. So then deciding as a group and identifying what is the goal that we are all striving toward. And then there are two ways that the directions that this can go. One of them is in a competitive fashion, right? It can be very like, well, we do this. Oh, well, we do this, you know, like ours is better than yours kind of thing. Okay, in some instances, I'm sure that that's true. And so then take that thing that this group does best and elevate it and make it shine and use that to then support and enhance the entire group. And so highlight and find the key qualities and the key programs and successes that each organization has, and then elevate them, make them shine, right? And that way, then it's more about, you know, the collaborative component, because then groups will say, organizations will say, okay, well, we're doing this program in Spanish. And this organization says, oh, I'd love to do that. What about partnering? What can we do together? And then this organization says, oh, well, you know, we've got a great podcast. Why don't we make it into a podcast too? And so then it turns into like all of these wonderful things that are collaborative and not challenges or competition.
I love it, Meredith. And it's true, right? We rise by lifting others and letting everyone shine. How has the work of this alliance helped patients? I mean, going back to that unmet need about isolation, give us some examples of how you've made this work.
Absolutely. So the Alliance has done an amazing job. There is the website that has been created. It's www.gvhdalliance.org. It houses resources from all of the organizations who are part of the Alliance, and also has information about upcoming events and different programming that's going on, as well as directories for providers, links to podcasts, links to resources. So that is one of like the central location things that I think is so valuable. And then it links back to all the organizations that are a part of the Alliance. And so people can take a look at what they're particularly focusing on. Additionally, there have been events that have been focused on educating people in the community about graft versus host disease. There was one in Spanish, which I think is fantastic. It was done virtually. There have been events at symposia and conferences for healthcare professionals about what the GVHD Alliance is about, so they can share that information. So, I mean, there are a number of things. And then there are things that just go down to, like, you know, what would help someone on a daily basis, you know, like special lotion that, you know, patients need because of skin conditions and GVHD and all of that. And so sending care packages. And so, you know, and I think that's one of the things that makes it so successful is that it works at every level, with every group of people who are in the community.
That's wonderful.
And I think that's part of what makes it as successful as it has been so far and will be successful in the future.
You now have worked through an alliance, launched a day for awareness for patients, connecting patients on a website, to tools and resources and events. What is next for the alliance?
There are a few things that we have planned. So one of the programs that we're working on, we're starting out in the U.S. and North America, is creating an ambassador program. And so we're going to have more patients share their stories, share their experiences, and just provide education and information for each other, for healthcare professionals, for the community. And I think, you know, having that, we can reach an even broader audience and help even more people. And so that's one of the things that we're planning on doing. And then also, you know, spreading the alliance out and developing it internationally and, you know, expanding it outside of just the U.S. And so now we have, you know, it's North America and we're moving toward Europe and having a GVHD alliance in Europe. And so, like, ultimately, my particular vision and goal is to have it globally all over. And so no one will be without the support, the access, the care, what they need in order to, you know, thrive and live well with this disease, because it is possible to do that.
We talk about the importance of identifying each other's strengths so that we don't duplicate, but actually that everyone has a space to shine in an alliance. Any learning over your experience with the GVHD Alliance that you would like to share with us?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that ways of identifying strengths and ways of, you know, figuring out how different organizations can partner, it's important to be thoughtful and to be intentional about the time that you have when you come together. And so there are some steps that can happen in preparation for that. With the Alliance, we usually have monthly virtual meetings. And in between those meetings, we have one-on-one meetings with various different partners. And then every year we have an annual meeting. And so we break it down into smaller steps so that we can really highlight and focus on, okay, this is where you, this organization, you do beautiful work.
Yeah, Meredith, and I've been able to see in some of your alliance work, you know, how people just build off of each other with communication. And it's now become regular communication, regular talking, and just the power of true collaboration when people are working together have produced such great results.
It does, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Creating or joining an alliance to increase our respective impact for patients is a common approach. We see it across multiple therapeutic area, and advocacy groups do that. What would be your top advice for your advocacy colleagues who are a listener to this podcast, and they want to replicate your level of success? What would it be?
I would think about the issue at hand, whatever it is that you're working on or focused on, in a very practical kind of logical way. So thinking about the critical things of who, what, why, when, where, and how. And then I would also just keep in mind that, you know, this is not a quick trip. This is a journey, and that there will be variations of it. And there will be a number of them until you find the one that works the best.
So we learn a lot about GVHD today and the large unmet patient needs. We learn about your journey, Meredith, from a patient, a therapist, an advocate, and a successful alliance co-founder. I really appreciated the insight on how to create that successful alliance of collaborator. When you try to avoid duplication, and that the advocacy group don't be seen as competitor, but actually collaborator together. I also like you talk about the importance of identifying each other's strengths, be sensitive that everyone shine, so important. And very importantly, this kind of process that you put in place and the alliance member put in place to identify the big share goals that we all share in and to remain focused on that shared goal, that you use the word true North Star. So I think that, to me, are some key learning from our interview today, and I really, really appreciate it. And a lot of people will benefit from that.
Thank you. I appreciate being here, and I appreciate this opportunity. It's been really wonderful.
Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you.
Stay tuned as we continue to bring you inspiring stories of courage, determination, and the transformative power of patient advocacy. And don't forget to subscribe to Patient Advocacy Voices to make sure you don't miss the next episode.